From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbread. I won't even tell you what was going on in the break. It's embarrassing. This is Postcard from Potbread with Rachel Lee and Eric. This week, because Mark's little boy's not so well, so get well soon. Young Mark's boy, whose name I can't remember. Sorry about that. Anyway, we'll kick off with the digital winners and losers at Christmas. And I think we might need to get a down under view on this one, because I'm not sure it's the same in Australia. But Tesco's and Sainsbury's showed growth at Christmas, which is quite good, because Tesco's haven't done that for a while. Whereas companies with either no or real online presence of any kind of good sense failed. And one of those you could include was Jessop's. They crashed in a big way. But also Morrison's. They dropped like a ton of bricks. Are consumers voting with their keyboards, I wonder?
Definitely. I think they are. I did all my shopping online for Christmas this year.
Did you?
It was, yeah, well, I was travelling for Christmas and I didn't want to.
You didn't want to what? Stop talking to me. is there any sort of coverage of online versus going shopping in Australia?
There is. They did a little bit of it over Christmas, and it was actually pretty good. There wasn't too much of a difference this year. I think people were experiencing a bit of euphoria about getting out of the house. So, the other thing too, with our retail around that time of year is pretty good because it's quite hot. So people often flock to shopping centres and bask in the air conditioning.
Mm.
That's a really good point.
I hadn't thought that.
A really good point, yeah.
Mm. My tea's lovely, by the way. Thank you, Petra. What about you, Lee?
What about me? What do you want off me now?
Are you an online or a real shopper?
I'm a real shopper because I think online is just pointless. It's like, it's just wrong. You can't see what you're buying. You can't handle what you're buying. You don't know what it looks like, tastes like, feels like, smells like. And also, you get ripped off left, right and centre. I ordered bread once on there and I got eggs. It's just
I can imagine that with you. There's two tick boxes to choose one from. Oh, my God. Let's phone Eric. Which one do I tick?
It's all right, then. This is a true story, right?
Is it?
Here's a true story about it. What happened to me this week to do with online shopping? Right?
You found one.
Right.
Right. You ready?
Right. Ready.
I bought a chimney cowl this week online.
Yeah.
It cost me £154 to go on top of my chimney.
Yes.
Right? I did it on the net.
Yes.
There was no human being there. I had to choose what I want. Jeopardy being mine, because I am not a person who does chimneys, right. So I could have bought the wrong thing, but I had to take a chance on it being the right thing because there were no advisors there, anything. Guess what? Did that on Monday. Huh? The bloke who delivers them has been round once, and I have still not, and because I wasn't here, I was actually upstairs, but there were two other people in the house who he could have given it to.
Mm-hmm.
I've still not had it. That is what online shopping is all about. But you know what else it's taught me? Mm-hmm. I now have a paint can on top of my chimney and it works perfectly.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back a little way here, because once upon a life, I did some work at QVC, as you know, Lee, in the UK. QVC, the shop.
He did. He used to take the stuff off the shelves, Rachel, and give them to the production people.
Oh, God.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, and that is no different to online shopping. And yet today, QVC, if I remember correctly, is the biggest electrical retailer for the whole of Europe.
QVC is?
Yes.
I like QVC.
Oh, my God.
I like teleshopping. I think that's brilliant. I can sit there for hours. I've bought so many things. You want to see how many open crotch knickers I've got?
No.
I don't wear them, Rach.
They don't sell those on QVC. My friend Debbie will be having kittens at the minute, the thought of that.
Have you got open crotch knickers on?
Oh, my word. But the point is, we're so used to it. And if you bought a product before, and you go online and see it cheaper for the second birches, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. I think in 5 years' time, we'll all be talking about internet shopping like it's no big deal, like we talk about QVC.
Yes. Do you have a QVC then?
We do. Yeah. We have a TVSN, we call it here.
Oh, right.
Not like an STD.
He's in one of those modes. I'm going to move on, I think.
He's got a theme going on.
He has, really, hasn't he? The Oscars have been announced. Now, there's some
Hooray!
good news for Europeans about the Oscars. Great.
What's this yawn you keep talking about?
It's great news. Dear listeners in Europe, there is great news.
What
the
is?
The Oscars will not screw up your television schedule because they're on in the middle of the night and you won't have to watch them.
They'll be repeated.
They'll
be repeated. Everything's repeated in Britain.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, I'm sorry.
You know how many times we get Top Gear repeated in Britain now?
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I think it's brilliant. I'm just saying how many times it gets repeated. At least 24 times a day it's on. I think it's brilliant. That's all I watch now.
It's on Dave. Because you have a version of, Top Gear down in, the Top Gear Down Under with the Aussie boys, don't you?
No,
here we go again. That's nothing
they
to do.
They axed it.
They axed it. Nobody was watching it. But we do watch yours, which is very, very strange.
No, because it's brilliant. And I did watch the Aussie one and I thought it was a bit wet.
One of my very good friends actually was hosting that show.
Really?
And he was most disappointed when they axed him.
I bet he was. I bet there were some good budgets in that. And all the play toys as well. Anyway, the big yawn of the week is the Oscar nominations are out.
It's not a yawn. I'm very upset with you about this. I've been brewing about this all day long.
Because she's an actor.
Oh, of course. Yes, you're an actor, aren't you?
Did you ever win an Oscar?
No, I didn't. I won an O.
You won
an O?
That was a whole different thing.
You didn't have to take your front teeth out.
Yes. Do you know, I will honestly admit to the actor, the last feature film I watched was The Boat That Rocked.
Yes, you tell us that every week, Eric.
Yes, and the other documentary film, last one I watched, was The Life of Ayrton Senna.
And that was a good film too.
That was a good film, but did you not
know? Was that a religious film?
No.
Well, it depends who you ask.
Well, yes, I mean, to Formula One people, yes.
As the only person here who's been to Formula One should be up there with David Bowie. It is the most boring thing you can ever experience.
The only person.
I agree with you. It's ridiculous.
Excuse me.
Who's been nominated in these Oscars?
Hold on a minute, because I'm challenging the press around the world today. I'd just like to challenge you over one point, Mr. Banksy. You are the only person that's been to Formula One on this programme?
In the last 12 months, yeah.
Oh, that would be true. In the last 12 months.
Yeah.
How many times have you been?
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen.
How many?
While he's taking the mickey, ladies and gentlemen.
How many?
I went to... Rachel, listen to this.
How many?
This is class and style. I actually turned up at Formula One in Delhi, right? On a tuk-tuk and a camel.
Right, how many times have you been?
And Rachel...
How many times have you been?
Him once!
Thank you very much. Once. Once.
How many times have you been?
Dozens. I couldn't even dream of telling you how many. Yeah, seriously.
Ah, no! Ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible to go dozens of times.
Why?
That means he's been 24 times. It's only held once a year. That's 24 years he's been going. He claims to be only 36.
Excuse me, Mr. Banksy. I'll have you know that my former vehicle...
Your Bob vehicle. Not one that's hidden under a snow plate.
No, my former vehicle, which was a V6 3-litre Transit... was number two.
He did Formula One in that, you know, Rachel.
No, I was gifted by Silverstone Raceway a perpetual pass into the centre for each Grand Prix.
That was because you were selling hot dogs.
It's because people wanted
to. I want
to
know what any of this has got to do with the Oscars.
Nothing really. not only that, they got a stuck a Adele in there for an Oscar.
Adele!
Yes.
brilliant computers that they were. I loved Adele.
she's nominated for Best Original Song for Skyfall.
She's nominated for Best Waterbed.
God. I'll tell you, I've got the solution for this.
Oh, here we go. Rachel down under again.
Here we go. Rachel's not going to love me anymore. I think they should present the awards in the local chippy and give all the wasted money to schools and hospitals.
I agree with you about that. I do.
Oh.
I agree with you on that as well. But who is being nominated? You're supposed to...
I will tell you.
I won't know any of them.
Hugh Jackman was nominated for Les Miserables.
Hugh
Jackman.
That's that. You see, that again as a name, it's just... That is not the name of a film star, is it? Hugh Jackman.
He's an Aussie fella, isn't he?
It depends what sort of films. Yes, he is an Aussie fella. And who else? Jackie Weaver is an Australian lady who got nominated for some indie film. Right. Can't remember what it's called. Yes. And the third Australian.
Yeah.
No, there's another one. Naomi Watts was nominated for The Impossible.
She's quite a pretty lady, actually.
She's beautiful.
Actually, I'm not supposed to know anything about this. I might sound intellectual if I'm not careful.
Is she from Australia?
No, that's why she's from an Aussie and part of the three that... Anyway, David Archer says, not having seen the film, but I predict...
Kangaroo not in there.
I predict Lincoln will sweep the board just because of the subject matter.
Who's Lincoln?
It's the film that Steven Spielberg's done.
He's not Australian. You're just confusing me. You said he was a whole Australian.
Three. We've now added a fourth one. So if there's three people and we've mentioned them, when we get to the fourth, that means they might not be Australian.
Ah, you just complicated it.
I think Lincoln got the most nominations.
Yeah, 12.
For what? Out of all the films. Out of all the films, they got the most nominations. So yeah. I think they might walk away with a few.
Was he voted in as a president?
Huh?
Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah. Is that what it's about? Yeah. It's not about a car?
No.
I thought it was about a car convertible. I remember. I'm thinking convertible.
Oh, I'm despairing
today.
Let's not
go back to the cars again.
Right. Anyway, there'll be some celebrationary thing. Oscar thing. They don't look like Oscars, though.
Bob Dylan has an Oscar, you know, and he takes it around everywhere. And wherever he performs now, he puts his Oscar.
I rest my case.
He puts his Oscar on top of his organ, and then he plays around it.
Right. Moving along, he says... Rachel, we asked you to do a bit of homework from last week about the terrible idiots that burnt those trees in Australia. And can you give us an update as well on all the what's happening down there? And apparently you're going to get even hotter temperatures shortly.
Yes, I am currently speaking to you for what could easily be mistaken for the face of the sun. It is very, very hot and it's very, very dry. So this creates the perfect storm for us. It's typical bushfire season and it's just the whole country's got a great big tinder box. So we're waiting. I mean, there's a lot of fires burning at the moment, particularly in Victoria, New South Wales, Tasmania, and it's going to get worse. It's going to spread to South Australia. It's already spread up here. Western Australia will be next and then the whole place will be on fire. You can see it from space. They showed a satellite picture of fires from space. It was amazing. But the gum trees, which we were talking about last week, the ghost gum trees, they have they're under care and they're trying to salvage what they can of them, but we won't know anything for a little while. They're going to see if what comes to pass with that.
Mother Nature. Hopefully
they can. Yeah. But they have very healthy rejuvenation cycles, so hopefully it will be all right. But yeah, most of the country's definitely on fire. Mm-hmm. And when I was driving back from the Sunshine Coast yesterday, I actually had to stop halfway because I couldn't see 2 feet in front of my face with all the smoke.
Really?
Yeah, it was very scary. So
can I ask something on that though, quite seriously, like in Britain, sure. You know, We have a major problem with flooding every year at the moment, and it's because, you know, obviously the climate's changed and things like that. Yet each year we make no preparation to beat flooding. We just get on with them. We get flooded and we all run around like headless chickens, screaming and saying that everything's ruined. Is not really Australia as a country fairly well to blame for not actually preparing to beat these kind of things?
Well,
or is the country
really
just too vast?
It's too huge, and the bushland that we're talking about is enormous, and there's no way to control it. The trouble, my way of preventing it would be don't build a house in the middle of the bush. But people do, and you can't stop that from happening. But there's very big, because we're so huge, there's big communities that have to spread out into rural areas, so there's no way of stopping it. It's just immense. I can't even get my head around how big it is, but it's humongous, and there's no way to stop it.
So how far are the fires away from you now, Rachel?
Oh, they're quite away from me now. There's one burning about 100 kilometres away from me, but it's only a grass vegetation fire. It's not a forest fire, so that's good.
That's not too
bad.
And
all the big ones are way down the other end of the country. They're way down south.
Okay.
So they're not anywhere near me at all. But
so our rate is safe then?
I'm safe, except from the humidity. I can tell you right this minute now, there is 89% humidity and it's 30 degrees.
What you want to do is run your melons under some cold water. That helps.
Then stand in front of a fan.
Yeah. Well, look, a serious note, because we do know there are a lot of listeners to RCI and Postcard in particular down in Aussie land. We do wish you all the best. We whatever happens, and I know it's sad to say this, but a house can be rebuilt. If you're told to get out, get out.
Yeah,
and don't try and save everything. I know how tragic that could be, only in terms of being burgled once and stuff got nicked. But, you know, when it's burnt, it can never come back to you. I really understand that. But for God's sake, listen to the authorities. If they tell you to get out, be safe, and then you can always rebuild things, you know.
That's right. I want to also chuck in a bit of a hoo-roo to the to our firefighters as well, because a good portion of them are volunteer firefighters.
Are they?
And they go hammer and tongs, and everybody from every state is jumping over borders to help each other. So big hello and thank you to those guys as well.
Good on you guys. Yeah, good one. We've got a bit of an exclusive coming up now, because as some of you know, we've been following the story of the Slovak children who I will describe as being hijacked by the UK social services. Both Lee and I have been doing an awful lot within that particular story. And I'm really proud of this, that the legal team inside the UK have actually issued to us an exclusive report, and which is the final report of all the legal activities, what took place, who did what, and how everything came to fruition, where the two kids and the grandmother came back to Slovakia, which, as I said last week, I had the privilege of going and meeting them, which is absolutely fabulous. And I'm not going to read the whole thing out, it's far too big, but what we'll do is we'll put the whole thing on rti.fm, the website, and we'll also put it onto our Scrib service as well, where you see the programs that are coming up and bits and pieces about them. And there's a couple of little bits from it, because the last page is actually headed up, and I'm just going to go down because I can't remember the names, to be perfectly honest. Naomi Angel, is that how you say it, Lee? Angel, when it's double L?
I think it is, yeah. It's yeah, I would.
No, okay, no, Naomi Angel and Dinesh Thackeray also were the two legal advisors on the whole case, and they've actually done a précis of the entire overview of the case. And the question that they, or the headline that they used at the top, for want of a better term, what secured 100% release and return of the children to the grandmother in Slovakia? And I'm just going to read you the last paragraph of that. It is quite clear that without Dr. Talensky's moral support of the mother as well as grandmother, and the substantial funding of the legal team, which included four solicitors and a QC, a Queen's Counsel, the children would have remained in the UK. We all thank Dr. Zelensky for his generosity and support, which led to a successful return of the children back to their homes. Dr. Zelensky attended all the court hearings and at the conferences of the councillors' chambers. He engaged several of his staff to help the mother and grandmother, rented a substantial house near the foster parents so the transition of the children could take place. We were surprised that the Slovak central government didn't provide or fund the grandmother. We estimate that Dr. Zelensky spent 60,000 euros to get the children home. We have been told that Dr. Zelensky is now helping other Czech and Slovak children to get back to their parents so they can also eventually return home. That was signed off. Thank you, Dr. Zelensky, from Naomi and Dinesh. And we'll put the whole thing up on the website and also on to Scribd as well, and we'll link it into Facebook for you so you know where to find it. But the other spin-off from all of that is other Czech and Slovak children should be getting back to their parents.
Yes.
I think this is an incredible story. I'd like to just point out to certain people that actually Eric and I have been on this story for a long time. And because of various restrictions, we've only been able to mention
parts. Well, we've actually stood by the broadcast standard of not mentioning family and children.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's the right thing to do anyway.
I
think in this case that was the right thing to do. It wasn't a thing where you should really have kicked over barriers or anything else.
No.
But the simple fact is that this story, which has been fairly low-key, there was somebody that Eric and I have been communing with on the Daily Telegraph who ran with it and other things. But this story has absolutely incredible international ramifications and also shows Britain up to be something that it should not be very proud of, or perhaps, which dare say, it should be ashamed of.
We've lost Lee. We lost you for a second there, dear.
Oh, right. Oh, what I was saying is that questions about this have actually been asked in India. And the reason questions have been asked in India about this subject are because what happened with the children, if you read the reports, etc., on Scribd, you'll realise what was happening. This is something that isn't a one-off in Britain.
No,
this is
not
something that's happening all the time, and Britain needs to take a look at its social services very closely to see what they are actually doing to people.
Well, our friend John Hemming, the MP, who was on the station with us as well, he made comment that if they hadn't have done all this and wasted years and years of time, it would have probably saved the social services millions of pounds.
Absolutely.
And what's more, being able to put that millions of pounds into helping really needy children rather than those that shouldn't have been tied up in the court system.
I think that's right. And I think the time that's been wasted on it... And more
Lee, we're going to have to kick your plug up. We're going to get him to the shop today, dear listener, so he can get this darn microphone fixed.
Is it really bad?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Right, but
that's
yeah,
better.
That's better.
Yeah, all I was saying is that the amount of time that's been spent on this case, and forgetting about money, and forgetting about the...
We've lost him altogether now, Rach. Marvellous.
Oh, no. He's advantage of the silence.
Oh, really? Hang on, no, he just kicked his computer again.
I just kicked my computer, did you hear me?
Yes.
Well, there you are, yeah.
I'll try one last time to say this, that really the problem is not the time that was wasted in court, not the money, and Mr. Dr. Zelensky should be applauded for what he did.
Yes.
It was the amount of time that's been wasted in a family's life.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I agree. Let's move on, boys and girls, because I think we're there with that. And this just galls me. What a waste as the world dumps half of its food in the rubbish bin.
Well, that's right. How shameful is this?
It's not coming from my plate.
Well, it's not. Do you know, it's really funny. I'm going to stick my hand up and say I'm guilty for this.
What?
When I lived in the UK, I did throw away a load of food.
Yeah.
I did.
Just once? Or did you do it on a regular basis?
Regular basis, I'm ashamed to say. I'm really ashamed to say.
What was your reason for chucking it, though? Was it rotten or something?
No, it was more that we would often buy too much.
Yeah.
Because you had this mentality of going shopping once a week. It was the once a week shopping, which tended to be on the day off of the man, which was galling, when you just wanted to sit in your shed and do stuff. as is your want. And then you'd buy excessively. You would buy the go for the buy one, get one free, because you were getting one back on the supermarket. When in actual fact, you ended up throwing half this stuff away. You brought too much bread that didn't last because it wasn't the sort of bread that lasted for a decade. And so you ended up chucking it away. Whereas in Slovakia, it's a standing joke with our chairman, because he always phones me the same bloody time every night. And I go, go on, guess which one? And he'll go, that one. I go, nope, two left. And he'll guess that there's three main supermarkets in the town. And on the way home, we will get bread or this or that. That which covers a day. We don't weekly shop.
No, well, I don't weekly shop.
That's the right way to do it. But I do shop on a daily basis. I was going to say I shop weekly, but I'm quite strong, so I don't. But it's like we buy on a daily basis. But the real problem with this, and what's created a load of this waste, is that major supermarkets now reduce food to almost giveaway prices because they're coming up to the sell-by date or whatever.
Which is rubbish, which is not a sell-by date most of the time.
No.
It's a best before.
Best before, yeah.
Absolutely. That's so right. Don't throw it away, boys and girls.
No. But what you tend to do is, because everything's 50p or 20p or 30p, is do exactly what Eric says. You buy loads of it. So you bring it home. By the time you get round to it, it might be off or you don't fancy it, and you chuck it away. This is what, when we're talking about the social services shame of the UK in the previous story, now we should be talking about the shame of the world. There are people starving in this world as we speak, and the world is throwing away 50% of the food that's created.
Not only that, Lee, not only that, it's all the chemicals that are used, the fertilizers, the billions and billions of gallons of water that are thrown away every year. And everybody's going, oh, we haven't got any water. No, you just stuck it down the tip.
But also, for the price of food is going up and up and up. What other marketplace does the price of something go up when you're chucking it away?
Yeah, and can I just remind everybody, not every banana's straight. Not every carrot is bright red, and apples don't always have to be a perfect sphere.
No.
I think that's a wonderful way to put it, ladies and gentlemen.
Was that articulate? Do you think?
Perfect ones are more delicious, I think.
I think you're right. We've got to go, boys and girls. It's the end of the programme. Time to say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
For Lee, it's time for you to say goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, sir. Who's the sir?
Me.
Am I the sir? Goodbye, everybody.
I can't do it now. See you next week, boys and girls. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world. The Station of the Stars.